Thank you. Indeed, we are talking about the kingdom coming and being part of that this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to open with me to Acts chapter 14, we'll be in Acts chapter 14 today. Now, before I jump in, I'd like all the kids who are coloring this morning, would you stand up? So if you're a kid and you are coloring, would you stand up and look at me just for a second? Yeah. Awesome. We got some artists back there. Okay, now you understand what Mr. Brendan said earlier. He said, we need your art for the grandpas and grandmas at the Allegan County Medical Care Community. Okay, so save that art and put it in the basket over there. Don't throw it away. We need it. They'll make these grandpas and grandmas happy when they get your art. Okay, so we need you to do a great job. We need you to save it because we're going to bless them with that. So thank you. All right, you can be seated. Go back to work. Awesome. You believe we're 5 months into this quarantine? 5 months. Anybody have really big quarantine goals when it started? How are those gone? And you're like, well, where's the time gone? First, tell me that. Someday, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, people will probably ask you, so what was that like? And, like, what did you do? And what will the story be that you get to tell about quarantine? You're 5 months into writing that story. What did you do? That's a question I'd like you to be pondering with me just for a little bit this morning, is what did you do? What story will you get to tell about quarantine? And as you think about that, there are really two priorities that this text really brings out, and that's really redeeming the time, whatever kind of time it is, whether it's quarantine time or another kind of time, to really make time for two priorities, and that is getting to know God. Like, did you get to know God better in the last 5 months? Have you used this time to know God better? It's getting to know God and making God known. But I think the pushback might be, but it's really hard to get to know a God that I can't see. It's really hard to get to know a God that I can't hear audibly. It's really hard. It's much easier to scroll on my phone or to operate the remote. It's much easier to find myself lost in a screen than get to know God. And it's really hard to tell people to get to know a God they can't see and they can't hear. As you think about this quarantine season and you think about how do you get to know a God that, well, how do you get to know him? I have good news for you from Acts chapter 14. But before we get to Acts chapter 14, we have to start, of course, in Acts chapter 13, is where we left off last week. And last week we saw how with prayer and fasting, they sent Paul and Barnabas out on their first missionary trip. And so they went to Seleucia, and they sailed for Cyprus, where Barnabas was from. And they started in Salamis, and they preach all the way across the island to Paphos, where they encounter a magician that Paul had some hard things to say to him. I don't know if you remember that or not, but he called him something like a son of a devil and said some other hard things as he was trying to preach the gospel to them. Then they travel to Perga, and finally then they also go to Antioch, where Paul preaches in a synagogue. And you'll see he preaches the good news, and he spends about 40 verses, as Luke tells it, helping them understand from the Jewish scriptures the good news that Jesus is the final and full expression of God's grace, that Jesus died for our sins. And as he preaches this, a whole bunch of people are like, this is amazing good news, as they're getting to know God. And he's helping them get to know God. And they're like, this is awesome. Thank you for this. We want to hear more. And they go and they get their friends and they bring them back. And the synagogue is packed. There's no room. And of course, the rulers of the synagogue, the people who have been in charge, how do they, you think they handle that? They get super jealous. And they drive them from the city. Now, you want to pay attention. We're going to be back in Antioch. We'll come back to Antioch in a little bit. So pay attention to that. In Antioch, Paul is driven out. Then we pick him up here in chapter 14 in Iconium. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in a way that such a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So look, I don't want you to think that getting to know God and helping other people get to know God will be easy. I don't want you to make that mistake. There will be opposition. There will be persecution, whether they're run out of Antioch, you're driven out, or here they are stirring their minds, like planting poison in their minds, slander against them. So they remained for a long time. Okay, did you catch that? Did you catch that? Like, they're stirring up all this slander and they're poisoning their minds, so they leave quickly because it's hard. No. So they stay for a long time. Speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Here's the good news for those of us that are wrestling to get to know God. Here's the really good news. God wants to be known. Who is it that bore witness? Well, it's God that bore witness by giving them signs, by bearing witness to his grace through them. God wants to be known. This is why he gave us his word. This is why he commissioned Paul and Barnabas to go out on this trip, that God wants to be known. So there's hope to get to know him. There's hope because he wants to be known. Now, how do we know him? How can we get to know him? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about three ways to get to know him this morning. So let's keep telling the story. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. We don't know anything about division today, do we? When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them. Okay, hold on. So in Antioch, what happened? He was driven out, right? So now we're in Iconium. And what's happened? Well, slander has become an attempt. An attempt to mistreat them and what? Stone them. You know what stoning is? It's where you throw big rocks at people until they're dead. We've talked about it before, and he said, I can't think of a worse way to die. I'm sure there are worse ways to die, but I would not want to get stoned. So an attempt is made. And when they learned of it, they fled to Lystra. So they were in Antioch, and then Iconium, and now Lystra. And they learned their lesson, and they shut up about the gospel. They just did nice things for people. Think that's what's going to happen? No. And they went to Derbe. This is kind of a summary statement. And Derbe and the cities of Lycaonia and the surrounding country. Now they're going to go back to Lystra and tell you what happened in Lystra before they went to Derbe. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. And he was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking. And Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." So get this. Paul here is trying to say, this is what the kingdom is like. This is what heaven will be like. And he heals this guy. And they're like, whoa. And they're like, good, good. That's what Paul and Barnabas are thinking. Good, they get it. You know, this is what heaven will be like. And they say, this has got to be Zeus. But Paul has no idea because they're speaking their language tongue, which he doesn't speak. He's probably speaking in Greek, and they're speaking in Lyconian. So he has no idea what's going on. The gods have come down in likeness of men, and Paul and Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes because he was a chief speaker. They completely misunderstand what Paul was trying to do. Completely. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowd. So you can imagine, they heal this guy and they're like, the gods have come down, go get the priests. And here come the priests with the big mooing oxen and they have the big sharp knife because they're going to sacrifice the oxen and they're going to have a big feast and a big party. And Paul and Barnabas are like, what in the world is going on? And they don't really know because they're speaking Lyconian. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, when they finally understood what was going on, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd crying out, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you. We bring you good news. Now, what they're going to do is the same thing they did in the synagogue, right? And for like 30 verses, do exposition of Old Testament scriptures. You think that's what they're going to do? Watch how they present the message to these illiterate pagans. That you should turn from these vain things to a living God. It's like, look, the oxen, it's vain. You're going to sacrifice that, and that won't appease anyone. That won't do anything for you. Turn from that to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the past generations, he allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. I mean, if you look back, you guys have been getting it wrong for generations. But now God calls all people everywhere to repent. But even then, he didn't leave himself without witness. She says, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. I like that very much. Paul doesn't start with the Old Testament scriptures that they don't know. He starts with what they do know. With rains, with sunshine, with harvest. I mean, if you're saying this to us, and where you might start is like, look, you need to turn from those vain idols that you're chasing and turn to the living God who made all of it. So when you enjoy sweet corn with butter heaped on it, so much that the people around you tell you that you're going to die. You're going to die if you eat that. And you then put tons of salt on it. And then you eat it and the juice runs down your face. And it fills your heart with joy and gladness. There is a good God who is smiling at you. This is him bearing witness to you that he is good and that he intends joy for you. At our house, it would be hamburger night. And I'd rub the hamburgers with fat, and then we rub them with a salty substance that my wife produces. And then I get the grill raging hot. And then I put them on the grill, and I close the lid, and then I flip them so that there's this charred wonderfulness, salty wonderfulness on the outside, and then we melt cheese on them, and then my wife, while I'm doing that, I tell her, okay, 3 minutes, and then she starts putting, she probably already has the butter on the buns, and then she starts frying the buns, and toasting the buns, that sounds healthier, doesn't it? And so then she puts the buns on the plate, and then we get these piping hot melted cheese hamburgers with a salty crust on them. And they go right on your plate, and you bite them, and the juice goes all over. And it's like, there is a good God. Thank you. And this is God bearing witness that he is good. This is a good gift from him that he wants you to enjoy. That he wants you to look up and say, thank you. The world, like, these people lived with brokenness and hardships, just like you live with brokenness and hardships. But he's saying, what you need to do is, in your moments of joy and gladness, look up and say thank you, and you will learn a lot about your Creator. What he's saying is God wants to be known, and he wants to be known through his gifts. Look, there's a lot of stuff to complain about right now. You could spend your life ranting and complaining and not run out of stuff for quite some time. But I don't think that will help you get to know your Creator. I think if you want to get to know your Creator, you practice gratitude for his gifts, for they are good. God wants to be known through his gifts. They had just thought Paul was a god. And Barnabas, they thought, was a chief god, Zeus. And they were ready to sacrifice to him. But Paul was able to slow him down. You know, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifices to them. But Jews came from Antioch. Hey, how long ago had it been since he was in Antioch? Oh, I don't know how long, but it had been a while ago. Remember, he was driven out of Antioch. And then where did he go? Then he went to Iconium, where they made an attempt to stone him. So Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and now where are they? Now they're in Lystra. And having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul. These guys had followed him from one city to the next. And they get their chance. Now's their chance. And they get big rocks, and they throw rocks at him until they think he's dead. They went from thinking he was a god to trying to kill him with rocks. And they dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. You can imagine him. Is he bleeding out at that point? How messed up is he after having people throw rocks at him until they think he's dead? And he's laying there unconscious, and the disciples have the courage to identify with him and stand around him. Watch this. Watch what comes next. And he rose up and entered the city. Old boy was no quitter. And then he took a 6-month sabbatical to put himself back together. And then he took an extended vacation. And then he walked 60 miles to Derby. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derby. Derby is a 60-mile hike. But he learned his lesson, and he shut up about Jesus. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra. Hold on. Lystra's where he got stoned. He had just been in Derby, and he makes disciples, and then he goes back to Lystra. Are you kidding me? That's where it happened. But he doesn't just go back to Lystra. He also goes back to Iconium and to Antioch. This is the places that they had chased him down from, and he goes back to those cities, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church. And what are churches? Churches are groups of disciples. They didn't have church buildings, not in Antioch, not in Iconium, not in Lystra. These were groups of disciples. And they appoint elders with these groups of disciples. And with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Why was Paul willing to risk getting stoned in the first place, but also getting stoned again? Why was he willing to risk that? For the church. So disciples could be made through churches. Because that is how God is made known. Because God makes himself known through the preaching of the gospel in gathered disciples called churches. This is why we're here. We're here not because it's always been easy to be a Christian. We're here because people were willing to risk getting stoned, because people were willing to risk being persecuted. We're here standing on their shoulders. Think back to Paul getting stoned. Did he remember Stephen being stoned? He was there. He was guarding the coats. While other people threw rocks at Stephen, did he remember that? You know how when you're in those situations, you remember the weirdest things? Did his mind go back to Stephen getting stoned? Did he remember Stephen's prayers and how Stephen prayed just like, do you remember who? Jesus. How Stephen prayed just like Jesus? Did he remember those prayers? Did his mind go back there and think, I think they did. You know why? Do you know what region that Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra are in? Do you know which region? Did you look closely at your map? Let's go back there just for a second. What region are Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra in? What's the big black lettering up there? Galatia. Paul probably wrote the book of Galatians months after this. And you remember how he closes the letter in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17? He closes the letter with, "And I bear on my body the marks of Christ." Scars from getting stoned and being persecuted. And it brought his mind back to Christ, who gave his life so that we could live. What he was doing was making disciples of this Christ who gave us life, who gave his life so that we could live. Knowing that our origin story goes back to Christ, goes back to Stephen, it goes back to Paul. You know, I just got to say, when we think about what people suffered so that we could be here, look at me just for a second. We will not let policies divide us. We will not let procedure divide us. We will not let even programs divide us. We will not. Now, we may not agree on every policy. We might not agree on every procedure. We may not agree on how to do every program or which programs to do. But we will not let them divide us. We will maintain unity of the faith. We will remember that people have been through harder things. Our church started in 1841. It's 20 years before the Civil War. You think the Civil War was an easy thing for the church to go through? Our church lived through the Depression. You think the Depression was an easy thing for our church to go through? The church lived through World War I, World War II, lived through. Think of all the wars. Do you think those were easy for our church to live through? I was joking with Larry a little bit before the service. Worse? Our church lived through the worship wars. Hey man, there is opportunity for division then. We will not divide. We will prioritize discipling relationships. We will maintain the unity of the faith, knowing on whose shoulders we stand, because this is how God is made known to the nations. And this is how God is made known to us. When Paul finishes this leg of the journey, it's time for him to go home. And we read this, and they passed through Pisidia, which is a region there in which some of these cities are in, and they came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, he keeps preaching the word, they went down to Attila on the coast there, and they made their way to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, when they had gathered the disciples, brought all the disciples together, they declared all that God had done. Now to me, these next two words are just, I have no words for these next two words. Who did the work? God. Okay, all the work that God had done, now watch this, that God had done with them. Like in conjunction with them as his partners, with them. I don't like to say this because to me it sounds like heresy. To me it just sounds like something that you shouldn't say, but if I was going to lift this table, I could definitely do it by myself. But I would want to do it with someone else, you know, and so I might say, Brendan, come over here and lift this table with me, and he'd get on the other side of the table, and I would do it with Brendan. It would be something we would do together. Guys, that's that word, with them. All that God had done, yeah, he'd done it. He did it with them. Because that's how God likes to work. He likes to work with us and through us, by us. And he invites us into that partnership. In fact, I wonder if with them, if that also includes the church that sent them, the church that had been praying for them, the church that had been supporting them, the church that had fasted and prayed and commissioned them. And how God had made himself known to the Gentiles with them, through them. This is how God chooses to make himself known, and that is through us. But somehow God chooses to work, make himself known through people like me, through people like you. So when we talk about what story will you tell about this season, season of quarantine? What story will you tell about how you helped other people know God? How have you partnered with God? How has God been pleased to work through you? I just want to give you a little bit of space to reflect on this. Is how has God been working through you? How have you made him known? And there has to be a sense in which either you've been making him known or you haven't. Either you've been telling people about him or you haven't. Either you've been supporting the work or you haven't. Okay, well, the good news is quarantine isn't over. How could that be good news? The good news is you have more time to write your story. You have more time. It's not over yet. You have time to finish this story. How, in the next however long we have, how will you make him known? Because he likes to work with us. He likes to work through us. We talked about how God wants to be known, and he wants to be known with us, through us. We also said we need to get to know God ourselves. And so how are you getting to know God? How are you getting to know the Christ who came and who died? And I would encourage you, regardless of where you land on policy or procedure, that you commit to staying in discipling relationships. That you commit to staying in relationships that pull you closer to Jesus. That you commit to continue to learn his word in community with other people. And finally, that you get to know him. That you get to know him through the practice of gratitude. One of the habits I've committed to is writing down a couple things every morning that I'm thankful for. And this helps me get started in a grateful, happy, joyful place rather than a complaining, negative place. And as I've been thinking about this habit this week, I was thinking what I should focus more as I write down the things that I'm thankful for every day. I should focus on how does this help me know God? How does this help me know the Creator? What does Hamburger Night reveal to me about the Creator? I hope you'll use this season to get to know your Creator, who came for you and died for you, who rose again and gives you resurrection hope. I hope you'll use this season to know your Creator better, and then to make him known. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for how you love us and how you're so good to us. And Lord, how you give us joy and happiness in the midst of the tears and the sorrow and the pain, the frustrations of life. Lord, I pray that you would pull us closer to yourself today. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so into that prayer that I forgot what I was supposed to do next. So I want to talk to you on the live stream after they're all gone. So Ruth, if you would come up and play. Ruth is going to play. And if you guys could make your way up to the overhang for the final song, then please go ahead and do that while Ruth plays. And you